change tonight's outing, man. We got to go out to Tu Candela, El Pati, somewhere else, man. You're getting me in that mood. By the way, I think the video came out. I don't know if this is true or not. 56022, tell me if you've seen this Robert Kraft video. I'm just scrolling through Twitter. People are talking about a Robert Kraft video. I don't want to make any comments on it unless we see the video, because that could definitely get us in trouble. Did you guys see, by the way, it says no soliciting on the actual wall of this shop where he was at the Orchid Spa?
No,
like,
soliciting.
Said, massage therapy, table shower. I don't know what the bleep a table shower is, by the way. Channing Crowder said he got a table shower once. A legal table shower.
I kind of heard him say that in the background, and I was like, oh, okay. And he said legally.
What is a table shower? Does anybody know?
Okay,
56022.
So I know of some, but I actually go to this. We have this spot on South Beach. I don't know if you guys heard of it. It's called the Russian Turkish Bathhouse.
I've heard that is legit, man.
It is the best.
I heard that is legit. Like, you're in a super cold room, and then you go over to the super warm room.
It's got everything you can think of. It's got a hot tub. It's got a tub that pumps in salt water that comes down in through the roof. It's got hot room. It's got cold room. It's got a room that literally you can't last in there for a minute, that you beat each other with like these leaves and stuff like that. It's a great, by the way, date spot if you guys are single or whatever. Take a girl there. It is awesome. And then what we used to do is we used to sneak in alcohol. We'd bring in like a little bottle of Flask of Crown, and we'd be in the really, really cold room, like the polar bear stuff, and we'd just be in there chilling, drinking and stuff like that.
Got to get warm somehow.
Right? You got to. Then they have like eucalyptus rooms. They got UV rooms. They got rooms where they have a big old water thing that you can shoot each other with, and it's kind of like that shower thing that he was talking about. That's the closest I've been to when any
table,
of that stuff.
Like a table
shower. Like a table shower. Like there's a big old table, and then you hit a button and the shower comes down. And they have one literally that has 30 jets. You close the door and you hit a button and it's like 30 jets everywhere just hitting.
It's like a car wash.
Oh, it is amazing. It's the best. But if you haven't been, and you know, we used to go after a long weekend of partying, right? So you guys mentioning like a bachelor party coming up. The best thing to do the very next day when you're hungover is go and literally spend an hour and a half there. And then when you leave, you'll be detoxed. You'll be feeling great. It is amazing. It really is. But that's the closest I've been to a table shower.
Texter writes in, "Hi, Lee Hector. Always makes people talk about nightlife. This dude is a party king." We're going out tonight, man. Brian, you down?
I'm not going out tonight.
What are you doing? You were telling me you're detox. You're taking shakes.
Yeah.
What are you
doing this weekend? I'm doing this. I get back on my meal plan to kind of detox from the whole football season. You know, you gain a little bit, you drink a little bit, you have a good time, and I need to get back right for, you know, going on boat season and pool party season. So I need to tighten up. I need to lose some weight. So I'm having my first cheat meal tomorrow. It'll be my first time in 3 weeks drinking alcohol or having anything besides clean protein. We're going to Food and Wine Festival, and I didn't want to miss it. So I kind of hit, you know, my nutritionist up like, hey, by the way, can I, you know, I normally do 4 weeks is the plan. No drinks, no cheat meals. He goes, listen, you could do it. I kind of just do it in there just to kind of mentally get you going. He goes, but if you want, let's do a carb depletion on Friday. So all you got to do is drink shakes the whole day. I said, wait. I got to drink protein shakes the whole day and I can't eat anything? He goes, yeah. I said, all right, I'm down. If I have to do it, I'm down.
Just listening to this, man, I want to throw up. Like, Hector and I, we were just taking shots of Fireball eating pizza. Like, tonight we're going to be hammered and just go have, like, a super unhealthy meal, lemon pepper wings at Tootsie's. Like,
oh, listen.
Just listening to you talk about this healthy lifestyle. And I thought I was pretty healthy, by the way. Like, I eat my chicken. I eat my greens every night. I go to the gym. I eat my I drink my protein shakes. Listening to that, like, I do nothing, basically. I'm fat, basically.
You know, I only do it for a certain amount of time just so I can get back into the shape that I want, right? I don't want to be good. I want to be great. You know, I want to, you know, really look good. I could look good right now with a shirt on, no big deal. But, you know, like, we live in Miami. Girls cheat. They go and get things sucked out and put in their butt and stuff like that. Like,
huh?
We can't go get cheated. Like, we can't do that.
They
so,
what?
You know, they get a little lipo here.
Oh, okay.
Suck
okay.
This out here. You know,
I didn't know that.
Put it other places. You know, so, like, we got to do some things to step it up. Like, they might be like, look at this guy right here. He's all right looking, but then he takes his shirt off. Nah, I don't want nothing to do with him.
I like Fireball too much, though.
I hate Fireball with a passion.
Do you really?
You know why? Because I used to hate that candy back in the day that took
the
tastes
licorice,
like the
licorice.
Cinnamon one. Right. The
what
cinnamon
about the
heart.
Big Red? What about the gum? Big Red.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate anything that tastes like, ugh, that. It just makes me like, ugh. Oh, no, I'd pass on that all day long. Me, I'm a Crown Royal guy. I love me some whiskey.
You did mention Crown Royal earlier. Yeah.
I love Crown Royal. And then if it's a daytime thing, I love mojitos and I love Caipirinhas.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, you know, I like to mix it up a little bit, you know. I don't mind the vodka stuff like that, but that just gets boring.
But you're hitting Crown Royal straight up? Because, like,
I'll do multiple ways on which Crown I'm drinking.
What's the apple, the sour apple Crown?
Just apple, not sour apple.
Sweeter. Oh, whoa, I'm sorry. I didn't know we were talking to the Crown expert over here.
Oh, listen, I got everything Crown you could think of, and I can go through them all. But it's not sour, it's sweeter, so, like, girls like it. So you could just put it on the rocks, add a little water, call it a day.
I like to get to the point, bro. Just have a Blue Long Island. Put it all in there, bro.
Yeah, you're the bartender's worst nightmare. Be like, can I get a Long Island? They'll be like, oh, this guy, he ain't tipping nothing.
Hector's sick, man. Sick.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Listen, when it comes to, like, eating bad and drinking bad, I'm your man. I'm the worst. But I like to go ahead and get right and then enjoy my summer weekends.
You're dedicated.
I am.
You're dedicated. Yeah.
He wants to, you know, enjoy his time at the sandbar in the summer.
Listen,
you know, pull up.
We're going to be out there.
The bajitos are no joke, bro.
We're going to be out there. Now, sometimes we go in, like, friends' bigger boats so we can't pull into the show. But, you know, you load your boat up with a good amount of people. You have a good time.
Memorial Day is no joke, right?
Memorial Day is too crazy, man. Like, it is too nuts sometimes. Like, well, the funny thing is Memorial Day in Miami people leave.
Right.
Because we get the influx of the southern, you know, crowd. So you either go to Vegas or you go to the Keys, which to me, the Keys has got a little more ratchet over the years. Like, I went like 7-8 years ago for the first time. I fell in love. I literally fell in love. I'm just walking up and down the sandbar, wet t-shirt contest over here. This boat's like, come take a shot, bro. I'm like, yes, I will come take a shot.
You go on one boat. You end up the next night on another boat. You're coming back on boats. People you don't even know. You're just asking for rides back to shore.
It's a tough time sometimes.
I love Miami, man.
It's a tough time.
South Florida.
It's kind of funny. This texter goes, can Moreau get an average Joe like me into live on hip hop night story in 11 without getting rejected at the door?
Can you?
I could.
Tried.
Oh, 11, everybody could go in. You just got to pay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the other places you could get rejected depending on who's performing that night. And unfortunately, it sucks because sometimes we'll go in, grab a couple of drinks, and they'll just leave, and you see the same people outside waiting like an hour and a half later, and you're like, dang.
The one time I went to Story was to see Drake.
Oh, my goodness. So long. That was the one last year?
Yeah, last year.
I was there. It was awesome. Amazing.
Well, why do people wait in that line? Like, I wouldn't wait in a line that long. It's not worth it.
Everybody that was in the club paid. You know, I paid my general admission like through online. It was
$60. You buy a ticket.
It was $60 to see Drake, and he performed a good amount of
time.
If you're going to Story, you're going to Live, you're going to these big nightclubs that are popular outside of Miami, right? Because tourists come, they want to come to Live, right?
They want to go.
Jay-Z's talked about Live. Lil Wayne's at Live. Just pay your admission fee, get there a little early, and you have no problem. The problem is that people want to do Miami right, and they think they're big ballers, and they show up at 1, 2 in the morning. Man, unless you're dropping 15 Gs and getting a bottle, you're not getting in.
You just got to know the right people.
I mean, but if you're not from Miami, you don't.
Oh, right? No, listen, we just went to Story, what was it, a couple weeks ago to go say what's up to some friends. We walk up, and literally there was like, I would say, 7 dudes that looked like they were on vacation from like the Midwest. Younger guys. They were like, bro, what are the chances of getting in here? I'm like, how many are you? He's like, 7 dudes. I'm like, the chances are slim, bro. He goes, really? How are you walking in? I'm like, because we know somebody, bro, but I'll try to help you out right now. When it comes down to it, numbers mean everything if you don't know anybody on South Beach. If you go with 5 dudes, you better get your credit cards out. If you go with 3 dudes and 8 chicks, you might have a better chance.
560-22, Texter says, I'm retired from the clubs. Back in the clubs, like 609, Mansion, and Crowbar were way better than the clubs
now.
Yo,
those are my spots.
Rest in peace, Mansion. First club I ever went to. Rest in peace, Sam.
Did you never went to 609 in the Grove?
Never went to 609.
No, you're too young for that. Yeah. What about Crowbar?
I feel like I've heard of it. My brother's like your age. My brother's 32 or 33, I don't remember. And he grew up here as well. He basically went to all those clubs. I was too young. I was like in middle school.
Yeah.
I couldn't get out there.
Man, Crowbar. I remember Big John used to help us out at Crowbar, man. That place was, it was fun. You know, it's a 2-story club and it was next to, what is it now? Oh man, it's Cameo now. You ever seen Cameo?
But didn't Cameo close down?
Close down, open back up. It's a little hood for me, Cameo. But Crowbar was like the total opposite. It was like house music, the whole nine yards.
That's the first club was Mecca.
Mecca, like, downtown. Oh my God. Yes.
I won't step foot in there anymore, man. Like, that's where it closed down. That's where you go when you're Did it close down? Yeah, that's where you go when you're there. 17 in high school.
And they had like the different rooms you had to go into and stuff like that.
And Nocturnal.
And Nocturnal. There was that Mecca Nocturnal. And then you did you ever go to Metropolis for the little time that it was open?
Never.
They dropped like big money for this place and it opened like 3 months. It was closed. I was like, ooh, that hurt.
The one that's still around though, Space.
Oh, Space that ain't never closing,
but
man.
But didn't have like a new owner. They were going to refurbish it. Like, didn't you guys hear something about that?
Yeah, they refurbished the couches and called it a day. That's what they do.
I heard there was going to be a new ownership. They were going to close down for a while, reopen as a different type of club. Somebody's saying Tantra.
Oh, man, Tantra with the grass in it? I remember that little couch, and there was grass, and the floor was grass.
I feel like, yo, Hector, we're a little younger than Brian. I feel like we missed out on this because, like, you're mentioning all these clubs. I wouldn't say it's limited now, but it's different. Like, now you go to bars, right? Like, now we're going to bars that are playing dance music so people are dancing, but it's not how Miami was maybe 10 years ago.
Very like, loungy.
You had these clubs, you know, like all these huge clubs that were open. If I'm wrong, by the way, tell me. I just feel like that's how it used to be back in the day, and now it's like you just have all these lounges and bars that are – because you have your 11, your Live, your Story. Like, there's a couple more, but there aren't that many, real clubs.
I think it changed only because we didn't have a Wynwood back in the day.
That's true.
Right? So there was really – when I was in college, there was two places that you went out. You went on the Grove, and you went out on the beach. We had Privé. We had Mansion on the beach set. Those are the spots that we all went to. In the Grove, you went to 609. If you couldn't get into 609, you went upstairs to Banana Joe's. I don't know if you guys remember Banana Joe's up in up top. You know what I'm saying? Like,
my Grove experiences were like
Moe's
Whiskey Wednesdays
at Green Street.
At Green Street, yep. Right. And then Penny Beers on, man, what was that? And there was another place like Frogs, I think.
Frogs was next to.
But it wasn't actually Senor Frogs.
It was just Frogs.
It was just Frogs, yeah. And it was a total disaster. That's where we used to go in high school, man. Like, we were just.
That is funny.
We were finessing our way into these spots. So we're getting a bunch of text messages here. 560-22.
My man knows Big John, yes.
Oxygen on Mondays at the Grove.
Listen, Oxygen, and I forgot the dude's name that hosted me, had that deep voice. He'd be like, yo, welcome to Oxygen, baby. Everyone having a good time. I'm like, yes, come on. Hey, how about Club Ben? I know you never... Have you heard of Club Ben?
I've heard of Club Gamma.
You never heard of Club Ben? Listen, Club Ben Monday night party back in the day was everything. And when I mean Club Ben, there literally were beds in the club. So on the outside where it would be a table, it was beds. You would get your drinks and your bottles in the middle of your bed and everyone would be standing up on like the stairs in front of your bed and the host or the person that would perform would be in the middle bed. It was crazy.
Sounds like a club Robert Kraft would be at.
Stick out your tongue, girls wanna have fun. Stick out your tongue, can I have some? Stick out your tongue, girls wanna have fun.
Man, Brian Monroe, he hit something, he hit jackpot because I've been working at QAM for a little over 2 years. I've never seen so many people texting on the text line. I'm not even joking, like, I'm being serious. We're talking about places to go out in South Florida. The reaction on the text line right now is crazy. 560-22, tell us where you used to go out in Miami back in the day, or where you still do go out. People are coming up with everything. Fado's, we were just talking about it, the Irish Bar, which closed in Brickell. Mokai, Firehouse, Baja on the Grove. Why'd I say it like that? Baja on the Grove, Oasis. Somebody said Club Bed was fire.
Hey, listen, Club Bed was everything back in the day. Well, the funny thing is, Mocha, I don't go anymore because it's like where the high school kids go now. It's like the underage spot to go to. And so
That's the way I feel about Mokai. That's the way I feel about some of the places like Frogs in the Grove.
Yeah.
When I was younger, like that's where the high school kids go, where they have the fakes, those $300 fake IDs that they're getting.
Someone said, bro, Sandbar, ever heard of it? Nah, we've never heard of Sandbar.
Nah, never.
You never been to White Trash Bash on Tuesdays? That's what we had back in the day.
Isn't it Thursday?
Thursday? Thursday is the really good night. That's what it was for us back in the day. But on Tuesdays, we would have a White Trash Bash where they would have literally Jello wrestling and everything.
Bro, somebody just texted in Grand Central.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Damn. Throwback. Throwback. Rest in peace, Grand Central.
Man.
560-22. It's Brian Monroe, Solana, and Hialeah Hector taking you up until 10. We were going to talk about Hassan Whiteside. This is a lot more fun.
Like, it is.
I mean, look, we grew up in Miami. I could say we all grew up in Miami. We like going out, and apparently a lot of people listening do as well. Grand Central is one of those places where it opened in like this random spot. It looked like it was like a hotel.
It was weird.
It was really weird, and it was kind of sketchy, especially like the whole parking situation. They got the best concerts there. I saw Pusha T there once.
It was amazing how many people performed there. You're like, where are you going? Oh, he's performing at Grand Central. Why does everybody perform there?
And it felt like you performed there, and then they blew up after,
that's
right?
It.
Like there were these artists that you kind of knew. They're a little underground. They performed, and then they blew up right after.
I mean, I will say this. I like that Miami has finally got more diverse when it came to the nightlife scene, because I felt like Miami's been so much of you either went to, like, a small bar or you had to go to a club and, like, really, really dress up. Now we had Wynwood, Midtown, a lot of more lounges, some places on South Beach that you can go to. What's the one restaurant? Broken Shaker? You guys been to Broken Shaker?
Right.
I mean, some of the best mixologists and some of the best drinks there. Sit by the pool, hang out. There's so many little hole-in-the-wall spots at the Design District. I think they've done a really, really good job, like, mixing it up because, you know, sometimes you don't want to put on, like, jeans and a nice t-shirt and nice shoes and go to the club. Sometimes you want to put shorts on and not just go to Sandbar or go to Moe's. You want to go to something better like Wynwood now that we have.
Right. You just want to chill.
That's it.
Right. You don't want to have to go party. You don't want to have to go spend a lot of money. You just want to go have a drink with a friend, go chill. That's why I like Wynwood. My problem with Wynwood is when it opened, it's so cheap. Like that's where people went. They stopped going to Brickell. I stopped going to the beach. I was going to Wynwood. Man, now everything in Wynwood is pricey, man.
Yeah.
It's pricey.
They listen.
They did it right, though, I feel like. I mean, we can get into, like, the whole gentrification argument. Like, I don't know how passionate any of you are out there about that. But in terms of nightlife, building up Wynwood, making it attractive, making it a place people want to go to. You talk to tourists. I go to Heat games a lot. People come to the Heat games, and, you know, you hear them talk, oh, yeah, let's go to Wynwood. I hear it's awesome. The walls. Like, people that don't live in Miami have heard about Wynwood. They want to go to Wynwood.
Yeah, I remember having a meeting back in the day when I dabbled into real estate, and we had a meeting with developers then, and this is literally when Wynwood was nothing. This is like they had one strip, and Ducati just had signed. That was their biggest name.
Right.
And we were trying to get a restaurant in there, and the restaurant's like, we don't know if it's going to do well, blah, blah, blah. We were literally getting them a deal for $14 per square foot with an outside patio. For the last 3 years, it would only go up to $18. You know what it's going for now? It's like $75, $80
oh
per square
God.
Foot. They would have killed it. But the thing they said was, we want to make it a New York-type vibe where you can just walk to everything, everybody's out, everybody's artsy, the whole nine yards. And I was like, it can work because we have that crowd. If you can make it social media worthy, everybody will show up. And unfortunately, that's what ruined for me Art Walk. I don't know if you remember Art Walk, you know, every second
Saturday, right?
It used to be cool. It used to be the galas would open up, you have some drinks, you'd walk around. Then all of a sudden it became the social media thing to do, and now all of a sudden it's a party. And now I don't even think there's really any galas left in Wynwood.
It's basically just the day everybody goes to Wynwood to
sit,
go out.
Sit, to go right? Party.
Parking goes up. So many people out there. I used to avoid Art Walk like once it got really popular because it's too crowded, man. Like I don't like being in a place that's super crowded. That's my problem with El Patio on Sundays. Like it used to be tight. Now you get out there and you're waiting in an hour line to get in unless you know somebody. And then you're in there. You can't. You're getting these drink vouchers because you're paying $40 to get in. You can't even get a drink anyways because the line for the bar is 3 hours long.
It is. It's small. Unless you're getting a table, then it's a tough sell.
I don't ball like that though, man. Brian, I don't ball like that.
You
gotta hit me up. You gotta hit me up.
I'm just saying, it's a tough sell. It's a tough sell. For me, it's a tough sell. Like we don't get bottles everywhere, but we go places that we know people. So it's like, okay, we know those people. We can just stay here and then just drink for and just tip the waitress. And we good.
Like, see, you're a former athlete. Like, I feel like Hawk and Crowder's had this argument. You're a former athlete. Like, you get things that, you know, short, fat Jewish kids like me don't get. Like,
yeah, but you ain't fat. You know, you're short and Jewish, but you're not fat. Come on. Give yourself a little credit.
People can't see me. It sounds better. It sounds better when I you know, call myself that. Like, I'm not getting table service. I don't know anybody. I'm just waiting in line like the other guy. You know, I'm just waiting in line, and I get in there with Hylia Hector.
There you go. I mean, listen, I've been blessed to have friends. I've been, you know, big time players and stuff like that. And I've always taught as a kid to be nice to everybody, be cordial and be polite. And you know, there's two people that door guys, that VIP host, that waitress always remember. They remember the nice guy that was polite, thank you, text you the next day, and they remember the a-hole because they're always gonna remember. Yeah, that's that guy. Don't let him in. But if you're nice and you're cordial, then all of a sudden someone will be like, oh, yeah, I remember you. Come on in. Hey, here's a drink ticket. Go ahead. So that's why I was always capitalize on meeting new people. I'd always, you know, hey, can I get your number, whatever, blah, blah. And I would just text them, hey, thanks for everything. But never hit them up for anything. Just thank you. And then they would see me and they'd be like, why don't you hit us up? Well, I don't want to ask for anything. I just want to, you know, say thanks.
Well, you claim to be the nice guy. I want to hear you go the other way here. Let's talk about Hassan Whiteside for a little. Did you guys watch the Heat game last night against the Sixers?
No, it's too difficult.
So that's where you are with the Heat. A lot of people are there. Like, they know they're going to blow the lead at the end. They know they're going to play down or play up to their competition, right? Like, if they play the Hawks, the Heat are going to lose by 30 because the bad teams destroy the Heat for some reason. If they play the Sixers, if they play the Warriors, they're going to be in the game and they're going to blow it at the end. That's where you are now, right?
That's exactly where it is. You know, the game that I actually watched, I was watching the Celtics and the Bucks game. Why? Because it was actually exciting. And, you know, we've been going back and forth in, you know, different shows about the Heat and what they should do, the whole nine yards. And it's like, listen, we talked about the 6-game road trip they had. And it's like, it wouldn't shock me if they came back and were 4-2 on the road trip the way that they play. And you hit the nail on the head. How do you beat certain teams, like play with the Warriors tough, play against this team tough, and then all of a sudden you've lost 3 against the Hawks? It's mind-boggling, and it's very frustrating. And it's got to be frustrating for all the fans out there to say, okay, am I going to go spend my hard-earned money to go to a game to watch this team get blown out by a sorry team? Like, I wouldn't. I just wouldn't.
I understand that, but it's weird because the Heat still sell out. They still have packed crowds. I feel like it's because those 4 years of the Big Three still play a major effect.
Sell out where? Here?
The AAA, yeah.
No, there's no way we had a sellout game this year, unless it was against a super good team.
Oh, no, I'm telling you, the Miami Heat still have been top of the NBA in attendance since LeBron left. I'm being serious.
This year. Who's writing those things? Are they adding a couple people
I'm
to those empty
you,
seats?
Man, the
man
games,
I don't know.
Look, I'm a season ticket holder. I go to games. I'm telling you, the stadium's packed. I'm not telling you that the environment is what it was when LeBron James was here.
I am not
telling you that. But in terms of fans getting out to the game, now they might get there late still. They might chill at Hyde for a little. They might not come back.
That's
in the
where
second
I got
half.
Season tickets at Hyde.
But people are going to games. I don't blame the fan for being upset with this team. I get it. People are mad at Pat Riley for giving Hassan, James Johnson, Olynyk, Tyler Johnson, all these. I get it. I understand that people are upset about that. But how you alluded to, this team isn't consistent. And Spoelstra talks about it all the time, the tale of two teams. What team are we getting tonight? What team is going to come out and show us a performance? The problem with the Heat is what you saw last night. Hassan Whiteside is going up against a backup center, Boban Marjanovic. We know the history of Hassan and Joel Embiid. That's the matchup you kind of want to see with the Miami Heat. They're playing the Sixers. That's what you circle, right? Oh, it's going to be Joel and Hassan. They have, they've exchanged some words in the past, the playoff series last year. Joel Embiid definitely got the better of Hassan over the course of those 5 games. Finally, last night, Hassan's going to end up playing the Sixers without Joel. So what do you expect him to do? Put on a performance. You're coming out of the All-Star break. The Heat need to get into this gear if they want to make the playoffs. They're on the outside looking in. Hassan has 0 points yesterday through the first half, and Boban has 16.
Boban was destroying him.
It doesn't make sense. And Spoelstra after the game even said, yeah, it kind of seemed like Boban was just beating us down the floor, which was frustrating. And to me, that's a shot at Hassan Whiteside, is it not? Like, hey, the most unathletic guy probably in the NBA, Boban Marjanovic. Like, look at this guy run. He can't run. His feet are too big. His body's too big. He can't function. And Hassan Whiteside is a freak athlete, and he's getting beat down the floor. That comes up to one thing, right? Chalk it up to one thing, which is what? Effort. And Hassan Whiteside, when he doesn't get the ball early, and he's not making his shots early, you don't see him play with effort. And it's got to be so frustrating for Eric Spoelstra.
And that's the biggest thing for me is you had this crazy journey to where you needed to get into the NBA. You finally play well and you finally get that big payday, which all athletes are striving for because you can take care of your family, you can take care of yourself, you can take care of your kids, and that's amazing. But the most frustrating thing is that, to me, he just shut it down. He doesn't put that effort out there that you want in a leader. He doesn't put that, I'm diving for all these balls, I'm running up and down this court. He complains on certain things. He still isn't at the maturity level that you would want to see from, quote-unquote, our star guy, because you are the highest-paid dude on our team.
That's one of the biggest criticisms of Hassan going back to when he got that contract. People don't like his body language. And to be honest, I'm not a big proponent of that. I think, look, there's plenty of guys you can point to in many different leagues, not just the NBA, whose body language is bad. Odell Beckham. People always get on him about, you know, he's a head case, he's immature. But, man, he's good. Like, he changes your team. He's a dynamic player. You add Odell Beckham to any roster, and fans are going to be happy. You live with the headaches because of his production. And to me, Hassan Whiteside can act any which way he wants on the court, but he's not producing consistently. And that's what it boils down to. The Miami Heat are in a weird spot where people want them to not win. Like, it's gotten to a point where people want them to not win because...
I'm one of them.
Right. You would rather them lose and position themselves for a better draft pick, correct?
Listen, this is the year that actually you have a better chance of being a top three pick, because the percentage-wise, if you're, I don't know, seventh in league, eighth in league, you have the same percentage as the top three, or three through 10. So, listen, right now the Heat are 26 and 31. You are only a couple spots away from being in that top seven of being the worst teams to put yourself to get a player like a Zion Williamson, as a RJ Barrett, as a Cam Reddish. There is a couple guys in this thing that can change a franchise within a couple years. Also will attract some big name free agents in the future.
It would position them better to land, or it would increase their chances, yes, to land one of the big free agents, one of the big upcoming rookies in this draft class. The problem is they can't, like, when you look at the East right now, the Heat are in 10th place, 26 and 31. The Wizards are at 24 and 34. They're 2.5 games behind the Heat in the 11th spot. Then there's, like, a precipitous drop to 12, which is the Hawks. They're at 19 and 39. The Heat aren't bad enough to be in that category with the Hawks. Like, they're just not. They're not going to drop below 11 in the standings in the East. Even if they end up in 10 or 11, yes, they're in the lottery. Their chances are better at getting one of those top picks. But let's be real here. When you include the Suns on the other side, the Grizzlies on the other side in the West, they're not going to get a top three pick. They're probably not. And I could be wrong. They might get lucky. Okay, that ball might drop in the Heat's favor. But let's be real here. If you're the 12th or the 13th team in the lottery, your chances at getting the 1, 2, or 3 pick, like, it's not going to, like, it's just not going to happen. It's just not. My argument is, when looking towards the playoffs, right? Like, if I were telling you, this is why I think the Heat do need to try to make a push for the playoffs. You do have Justice Winslow. You do have Josh Richardson. You do have Bam Adebayo. Some of these guys that we like, that we want the Heat to continue to build on, those guys could use playoff experience, can't they?
They can, but to me, it's always frustrating to say, is are Heat fans, you know, content on being a 7 seed,
the 8 seed, the 7 seed, losing
and losing in the first round.
Right.
Like, are you content with that? Or?
No, but it is what it is, right? Like, at a certain point, you have to say, okay, it is what it is. And don't you want to see Dwayne Wade?
That's the only reason why I'm against it, is because I want to see Dwayne Wade go out in somewhat of a run.
You're right? Conflicted.
I like D-Wade, and I think he's done so much for the city, the organization. And it sucks because you would hope that it would be a team where, hey, we're in the contention for the 6 seed, right? You know, I always thought, like, the ceiling for this team coming in were, like, 6 seed. I was like, hey, this team could actually be a 6 seed, a 7 seed.
I mean, okay, right now the Nets are 30 and 30. They're the 6 seed. They're 3 games ahead of the Hornets, who are 27 and 30, who are the 7 seed. I mean, the Heat are only 2.5 games back from the 6 seed, so it's not a crazy difference between the 10th seed or even the 11th seed and the 6 seed. The Heat could still get up to the 6 seed. The problem is, if you are the 6 seed, you're playing the Pacers, you're playing the Sixers, or you're playing the Raptors. Those aren't teams that Heat are better than. Those aren't teams that Heat are going to be able to beat. Brian Monroe, Alex Solana, we're going to continue this conversation about the Miami Heat next here on WQAM. Yeah! Astro. Yeah, yeah. 13 hours till I land, have me out like a light, hey, yeah. Like a light, hey, yeah. Like a light. Slept through the flight, hey, not for the night, hey, 767 minutes. It's been a rough day in Jupiter, man.
It was brutal.
I didn't even know this. Brian Monroe, Solana, Hylia, Hector here. Brian just pointed this out to me. Cody Parkey was cut today by the Chicago Bears. He's from Jupiter. He has a home in Jupiter.
He went to high school in Jupiter. He went to Jupiter High.
Wow. Like, I didn't actually think that was going to happen because I know Parkey famously missed a field goal. The Bears lose. They're out of the playoffs. And he wasn't really that good this season, right? Like, I think he had a for what the Bears paid him.
He was horrible.
Okay, there you go.
For a kicker, he was horrible, especially for the money. Yeah. I mean, think about it. He's due guaranteed $3.5 million no matter what in 2019.
I was trying to be nice, and Brian was like, bleep you. He was horrible.
No. I mean, for a kicker, he's horrible. I don't know how many. Let me look at some of these stats because he was bad. I mean, extra points he missed. And I get it. It's the Bears. It's a swirling wind and everything else. But you're not getting paid millions of dollars as a kicker and missing that many times.
He's still going to get the $3.5 million he was guaranteed in 2019, so yeah. They still have to pay him, mm-hmm. which is why I'm surprised they cut him. Because if you're going to pay a kicker $3.5 million, you might as well keep him. I understand he had a poor season, and I understand, I mean, you could argue, and most people have, that they're no longer, they lost in the playoffs because of him, even though you saw that challenge. What was it, Goose Island?
Oh, my God. That was amazing.
That was hilarious, right?
I put up the video where the dude kicked the one guy in the nuts.
Right,
that was
right,
amazing.
Right there. You make that field goal?
What, who?
Do you make that field goal?
Hell no.
I'm not talking about in the game. I'm talking about at Goose Island.
In those conditions. Oh, yeah. If they let me get some cleats.
In those conditions?
Yeah. You got to remember this, though. For a average person looking on the outside, kicking is the easiest thing that you can do.
Right.
Right? But for people that actually play football, like, there's not many football players, even the best athletes on the team, that can kick a field goal because it's not easy, right? And then you throw in the conditions of hold, snap, kick, the pressure of what the thing is, of the game, the magnitude, the crowd. It's a lot to it. Now, you can go out there right now and just set up a field goal when we'd practice and I wasn't even the field goal kicker at Miami. I go kick a 60-yarder, but there ain't nobody around. There ain't no pressure. We're just having fun. There ain't nothing to it. But it's hilarious to me. I think one of the guys called them armchair kickers or Twitter kickers or whatever, and giving them the opportunity. Like, it's not an easy thing, especially in those conditions. And most of the people wore sneakers, which that's dumb to do because you're going to slip. It's wet, the whole nine yards. I thought maybe one guy would do it. I thought maybe they had somebody that played soccer or something like that would just surprise everybody.
I'm surprised. Yeah, it was, what, 0-100? Like, 100 people tried it. Not even not one person got close. I was watching the live feed for a while they were doing it. I understand it's hard, but I think it's Omar Kelly who always joins us on QAM. I think it's Omar Kelly. I could be wrong, but he's always saying, listen, you're a kicker. Do your job.
That's it.
Make the field goal.
Straight up.
Like, that's your job. Make the field goal.
But here's the thing. If you look at his stats, right? So he was 23-30. 76.7% is never going to cut in the NFL, especially for as much money as you make.
Is that field goals and extra
that's
points?
That's field goals. Extra points, he missed three. So you're telling me for the year you missed 10 kicks. That's never going to cut it for an NFL kicker.
Right.
That's just not how it is.
Especially when one of those kicks is
to win the game.
To win a game in the playoffs.
And the crazy thing was,
or to lose a game.
Right? I picked the Bears to win that game. My buddy picked the Eagles. And we're watching at like a watch party. And we talk a lot of trash when we just want to win and be right. And I'm in there like, he's going to miss. They're like, why do you think he's going to miss? I'm like, he is going to miss. He's going to hit it left. I guarantee you it. And the dude hit the upright. And everyone's like, what the? And I go, it's just him this year.
The Dolphins don't take too many W's as an organization. They haven't in my lifetime.
One. They took this one with getting Jason Saunders, was it?
Cody Parkey, or just not signing Cody Parkey, not giving him the money, which he was seeking, which he eventually got from the Chicago Bears, which he's still going to get paid for next season. The Dolphins didn't want to pay Cody Parkey. They like Cody Parkey.
I mean, he was 91% for them last year, in 2017.
A lot of people, and he's actually one of the main reasons they made the playoffs back in 2016. Remember, he missed that field goal with the Browns. Mm-hmm. Dolphin fans like Cody Parkey. Dolphin fans were upset when they let Cody Parkey go to Chicago. The Dolphins took a W here, not because Cody Parkey missed, but because Cody Parkey ended up getting paid and ended up being the reason why the Bears didn't advance in the playoffs, and now they felt the need to cut him. So the Dolphins don't take too many victories. They're not going to take too many victories in the upcoming seasons, as we will probably dive into at some point. The tank or not tank or rebuild or not rebuild or whatever. People get so upset about the word tank nowadays. That's like kind of a big deal, right? Like a player calling for an official not to ref his games anymore. I've never heard that, or at least I can't remember a time hearing that where a player saying, hey, I don't want that guy reffing games for me anymore.
And it's Harding, so he's able to say those things and nothing, you know, come blow back on him.
He'll probably get fined, though. I think he'll probably get fined.
I'm sure he can afford the $10,000 or $20,000 fine.
He said it. Like, I'm probably going to get hit, but it needs to be said.
It's all right. He'll be fine. And then, but listen, as an athlete, you just want the respect and the fairness from the ref. We want to be able to talk and be able to just keep it respectful. Obviously, none of us have been on the court. None of us know exactly what's been said back and forth or behind closed doors, the whole nine yards. So we're all going to speculate like everybody else. And the truth's never really going to come out unless this ref Foster decides to come out and say his side. Then you got these guys already saying their side. Now, where is, are we believe one side or is there the truth? So they will have their meetings in the offseason like they always do. They're going to bring it up because, you know, NBA does one of the best jobs as far as listening to their players and adapting to what their players are saying and changes the whole nine yards. They have a better, I think, open door policy than a lot of leagues out there. But it will be interesting to see is, do they put this guy on another time with one of their games? And how does that game go?
I mean, the NBA is all about storylines, right? Like, yeah, we don't even care about the games anymore. We know the Warriors are going to win the championship anyways. All we care about now is, you know, Kyrie and Durant playing together. Are they going to talk after the game? Are they going to cover their mouths after the game? This just adds to the drama of the NBA. I want to see Scott Foster in the playoffs reffing for the Rockets and how it kind of plays out. I don't know if you remember, you know, LeBron James. The only time I believe he ever fouled out in the NBA playoffs was when, oh, I'm forgetting the official's name, the bald official. Hector, you remember? Who was like famous for kind of making everything about him.
Is that the one somebody kissed in an All-Star game?
Yes. Oh, no, that was Dick Pavetta. Oh,
okay, yeah.
Somebody remind me on the text line. But it became a storyline. Like, LeBron James had an issue with this official. This official has something wrong with LeBron James. Like, and it to me, here's what I'm getting from this. Players complain about officials all the time, right? But at a certain point, when you look at the Miami Heat specifically, I understand where these players are coming from because you're looking at these numbers and you're saying it just doesn't add up. Like, how does this make sense? How does a team shoot so many more baskets? How many more points in the paint? They're attacking. They're getting to the rim. And the difference in free throws is, like, astronomical. Like, it really, it's 23 free throws in a game that he lost by four.
We all know there's select teams in Miami that are hated by everybody for some of the greatness that they've done over the years, the Heat being one of them. I don't know how many people hated that team with LeBron on it. I mean, they got hate from everybody, from the analysts to fans to other players. And it still stems from that, and it's always going to do that. There's other teams in Miami that are just hated, literally just hated because of their past. I will say one thing, though.
Joey Crawford was the official I was thinking about.
I'll say one thing. From the beginning of the season, I said they're going to have to turn around this free throw thing because if they don't, they're going to lose a lot of close games. They were 6-12. They missed 6 shots. How much did they lose by?
4 points.
4. To me, it's called a free throw for a reason. It's free. You can practice them all day. The reason why some of the best shooters are out there because they live in the gym. And that's the thing that only frustrates me. Like, D-Wade was, what, 3-6 last night on the line? That shouldn't happen. It just shouldn't.
It's a fair argument. Like, hey, you had your chances at the stripe. Make them, right? Like, make your shots. You had a chance. You're 1 minute left in the game. It's a tie game. Score.
Make it.
Close the game out, right? I mean, it's a fair argument. Stupid J.J. Redick hitting three-pointers to ice the game. That Sixers team looks good, man. Like,
oh,
I don't know how much people are following the NBA right now. I know everybody thinks that, you know, the Warriors are going to win. It's a foregone conclusion. But the East at this moment is the best, you could argue, we've seen it in a very long time. LeBron's no longer here. It opened up this alley for teams like the Bucks, like the Raptors, obviously the Celtics, who everybody thought was going to run away with the East. You have four teams at the top of the East that are actually really good teams. You could argue, other than the Warriors, the four teams in the East are the next best four teams in the NBA. I'm not saying that's fact, but I'm saying you could make the argument. Coming up next, I'm sure we'll touch more on the Miami Heat and their game against the Pistons, but Dan Patrick had some interesting words on what the Miami Dolphins should do, and it includes Kyler Murray and Antonio Brown. We'll touch that next.